Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Thursday, May 1st. Happy May Day 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, hawa, toksik nusum, salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us behind the scenes live here in the studio via our live stream on YouTube's on KTO's YouTube page at kto.org/jpmlive or on KTO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, Winds in the Spring from Juno Community Bands happening Friday, May 2nd. Sarah McNair Grove is here with a preview. A preview of some First Friday goodness from the Juno City Museum with the opening of Wild Joys, an interactive exhibition that explores the history of performing arts in Juno. We chat with folks from the Juno Commission on Aging about some May activities to get the body active. Also, the Maritime Festival is happening this Saturday at Paratrovich Plaza, celebrating Juno's maritime culture, history, and commerce with over 80 vendor booths, music, and more. We'll get a sneak preview of what's in store. And Carl Broderson shares about the blessing of the fleet and the reading of the names, the annual event happening this Saturday morning on May 3rd. A full hour of previews and events. This is coming up on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak, gunil cheesh.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. Also, live streaming now on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Joining me now is Sarah McNair Grove from Juno Community Bands to share with us about the Winds in the Spring happening tomorrow night, Friday, May 2nd. Ganth Chish, ha yigudi, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to see you, Sarah. Welcome in. Wasa iati, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and we really appreciate you having us to talk about our concert tomorrow. Even though it's raining outside, it's still spring.
Now, this concert is, it's the Winds in the Spring, but it's basically made up of Taku Winds members? Is that how it works?
Yes, it is. You know, Taku Winds is our large band ensemble, which varies from 25 to 40 people. The Winds in the Spring is chamber music, which means it's small ensembles. So tomorrow's concert, we have ensembles ranging from a trio to our largest group is 12 French horn players.
12 French horns?
Yes.
What are they playing?
And, they're playing a medley of show tunes, so it's really lots of fun.
That's cool. And this is going to be where?
It's going to be at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And is there a charge for this performance?
No, it's free. We would just love to have you come and share some music with us. If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, there is a donation bucket, but really, we'd just love to have people come and listen to music played by their neighbors and friends.
That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit, or just remind the folks about Juno Community Bands.
Okay. We do several things. Our main purpose is to provide adult musicians with the opportunity to make music together. And one of the things that many people in this town will recognize is the marching band and the 4th of July parade. Mm. That's something that we sponsor. And our Taku Winds that we've mentioned is our ensemble for sort of our more experienced players. And we play various kinds of good classic band music. And we have a fall concert and a spring concert.
And for those who may be new to Juno, is this something you can join or do you have to audition? How do you get involved with Juno Community Bands?
you can send an email to junocommunityband@gmail.com and say, I'm interested. Okay. We also have a spot on our website that there's a little form you can fill out. And our website is Juno Community Band, so it's easy to find. And yeah, so we love to have new people. We're always looking for new players.
I love that. So this concert tomorrow wins in the spring. How many different group makeups are there?
We have five different groups that are playing. Most of them happen to be woodwinds, except for the horn club that I mentioned. So, and I think one really fun group is a low flute quartet. And this is alto flutes, a bass flute, and a contrabass flute. So it's something that you don't see very often, and that's going to be really fun.
What's a contrabass flute?
Well, you know, I've actually never seen one myself, but it's a big flute, and it plays low.
Really low.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. What kind of stuff do they play?
How's what?
What kind of stuff are they going to play?
They're playing, it's a well-known piece, just a minute, Maurice Ravel's Bolero, which has been arranged for a low flute quartet.
Oh, wow.
So that's it will be fun.
That is kind of fun. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Do you find, so this is I'm thinking about this because you've got your winds, right? You got your wind section. Then you got these French horn Looney Tune folks. And then you've got these low flutes, which is interesting. Do you find that the personality of the person playing the instrument matches the instrument? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, dear. I don't know. I never really thought about that. We don't have any trombones in this particular concert, so I'll pick on the trombones. Trombone players have a reputation of being sort of the clowns of the wind instruments. And when you know of a trombone that can kind of swoop back and forth and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe in some ways they go together. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that because when I for some reason in my head, when I imagine like 12 French horn players getting together, that seems like madness to me.
Well, maybe it is, but you just have to come tomorrow and hear it.
Which I love. I love that it's going to be so fun because it's like it's chamber music, but it's really in these different formats, right? Because you've got these low flutes and then you've got the French horns. And are there any other specific kinds of groups?
Yes, we have a clarinet ensemble, which is the next largest, has 8 clarinet players in it.
Okay.
And then the other are mixed, flutes and clarinet, and then a quartet, which is oboe, flute, clarinet, and bassoon.
Okay. And what other music might we be hearing that you want to highlight?
Yeah, the quartet is playing a Gordon Jacobs 4 old tunes, so Bobby Shafto, some Scottish, Irish, English sort of old folk tunes.
Okay.
So that's another one. And the trio is playing a Japanese piece of music that has been arranged for them. It was originally written for a Japanese flute, I believe. And it's been arranged for flute and clarinet.
Wow.
So it's a wide variety of music, and I think it'll be fun.
It's a great way to kick off May, a great way to kick off spring.
Yes.
Winds in the spring from the Juno Community Bands. You can find out more at junocommunityband.com with no S. Or is it .org or .com?
It's org.
Org. Okay, it's org. You can find out more information about that. They're also on Facebook. Just search Juno Community Bands, and you can find out all the information. It's tomorrow night at the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. And it is at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
And no charge.
No charge.
By donation, right?
Donation if you want to support us. But come, it's going to be a fun way to start off spring.
Absolutely. Here. And up next is the 4th of July. Is that what will be coming next?
Then we have 4th of July, and we'll have a concert before the fireworks, and then we'll be in the parade. So we'll come back and talk about that later.
Absolutely. So much. Thanks so much, Sarah McNair Grove, for coming in today. Really appreciate you being here and telling us all about the winds in the spring.
Thank you.
Gachish. Okay, up next, we will talk with Kate from the City Museum about their new exhibit, Wild Joys, opening this first Friday. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Thursday, May 1st. Sunrise was at 5:02 this morning. Sunset will be at 8:48, a total of 15 hours, 45 minutes, and 47 seconds of daylight today. That is a gain of 4 minutes and 45 seconds over yesterday. And taking a look back at this day in 1934, liquor became legal again after enduring prohibition. Liquor stores opened their doors at 12:01 a.m. for several hours. There were 11 licensed liquor dealers in Juneau, and they were California Grocery, Gastineau Liquor, Alaska Hotel Liquor, Harry Race Drug Store, Juneau Liquor, Totem Grocery, Juneau Drug Company, Guy Smith Drugs, Butler Morrow Drug Store, and Miner's Liquor Store. There were a bunch of them. That's a look back at this day in 1934. This is KTOO.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kate Ross joins me now from the Juneau Douglas City Museum to talk about Wild Joy and more. Gunnath Cheesh, Wasi Iti, how are you, Kate? Good to see you again.
Oh, good to see you. I'm good. I'm excited. It's May. Let's go. It's raining, but it's May.
It's May, but it's raining. We're doing well. So you have a ton of stuff happening, but let's start with First Friday. This is really fun. Wild Joy's Creating Community Through the Performing Arts. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, you can maybe suspect it's dear to my heart just a little bit.
I wonder if you had any influence on making this show happen down there.
You know, honestly, maybe, but Beth Weigel, our curator, has also been part of the performing arts scene for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And Beth, our director, Dara, our curator, also is a performer. She plays instruments, she belly dances, and so this is her first big summer exhibit that she is curating for the museum. So I think she was excited to lean into the fact that we obviously have so many arts here in town.
That's so cool. So what is it going to be?
It's really cool. It's a lot of objects from our collection, from the museum's collection. So there's things like playbills and old makeup and things from over 100 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
So there's actually not – there's some objects from different performing arts organizations.
Okay.
But it's more just like really historical stuff like that. Some more contemporary things. There's a couple really, really cool costumes from different groups and different shows that have been happening or that have happened over the years. And then there's posters.
Show posters.
Yeah, there's show posters, which is really, really fun to flip through. All sorts of cool art and just kind of a walk down memory lane of like,
is there photos?
Yeah, there's some photos as well. There's historical photos. And then also in our community gallery room, our media room, there's a whole bunch of photos from more contemporary arts organizations and performances.
You know what's so interesting about that is because like in the olden times, like the photos for productions or for anything really were hard copies, and they were usually black and white because they were going in the newspaper and stuff like that. And those are so fun. And I'm curious, like in like 20 years from now, when we look back at this time, let's say, everything's all digital, right? So it's going to be, where are those pictures? And you're going to have to, do you print them out, or do we have different ways of displaying them in terms of like on screens or something? But there's something really fun about the old black and white like photos from like press photos for shows and stuff, or even just like the photo calls and being able to see those outfits and costumes and stuff.
So we kind of have a mix of that. We have some more historical, you know, there's one that's really cool from the Coliseum Theater, from this huge cast and this whole, all these dancing girls and everybody in these crazy costumes. So that's really cool to see. But then the contemporary photos we have, most of those came from a call that we put out to local arts orgs basically saying, hey, do you have photos you want to donate? So there's now kind of a small digital collection that the museum has of some of these more contemporary photos. So those have been printed out and put on the walls. But yeah, it was an interesting thing to think about for myself too, right? Because there's all these pictures of performances that I've been involved with. But yeah, where do they exist? Where do those files go, right? That's a whole longer conversation. I don't think we have enough time.
Not today. But so then First Friday, mm-hmm. there's going to be the reception, which opens, and there's some special things that are happening with the reception. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the reception will be 4:30 to 7, kind of normal First Friday time for us. And what we're doing is bringing the exhibit to life.
Of course, it's performing arts, right?
It's performing arts. Yeah. So we actually have a small stage, and we've invited some kind of notable community performers to come and share some of their craft with anybody that comes by. And so it's not a sit-down performance. It's not even performances back-to-back. It's kind of more of a pop-up performances throughout the evening. So we have Roblin Davis and Darius Menino. We have Kelsey Bryce Riker going to do some tap dancing. Mm. Natalia Spengler and Donnie Gott are going to do some Shakespeare.
Oh, wow.
And then we have Taylor Vidic, and with perhaps a surprise guest, doing a little bit of music at the
end. And that's going to be 4:30 to 7 this Friday down at the City Museum.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, what else is going on at the City Museum?
Well, speaking of performing at the City Museum, if you go on our website right now, you can actually sign up to come perform at the City Museum throughout the summer. So what we do, right, what we're doing for this exhibit is we have a little stage area, and we're going to have kind of, we're calling them open mic performance hours. So you do need to sign up ahead of time, but we have, it's about every other week. We're doing First Fridays, of course, and then it's roughly every other week on Thursday, lunch hour. We're trying to spread the word through the community. So if anyone wants to sign up, it's open to all disciplines of performing arts. You can sign up for a little 5-minute slot, 10-minute slot, and come share some of what you've been working on.
Because this exhibit will run through mid-October, right?
So yeah, exactly.
These performing opportunities are available all summer.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, so more information about that is through our website. There's a sign-up form and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
That's awesome. Okay, and you got a couple other things coming up. You're switching to summer hours,
Yeah,
too, right?
We're switching to summer hours starting to Saturday. So Saturday, Sunday, it'll be 10 to 4:30 instead of 4. And we are now open 7 days a week. So Monday through Friday, our extended hours are 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah, nice long hours, lots of time to come by. We are switching to paid admission, but it's only
$7. Right, that's not bad.
That's not bad. You can buy an annual pass, too.
You could buy an annual pass
and bring your
visitors in and do all
that. Exactly.
Kind of
and if you do have visitors coming this summer, another really fun thing is we have our walking tours up and going starting in May. Some of those do sell out. I know that the Capitol Killers True Crime Walking Tour with Ed and Betsy Schoenfeld is sold out, the May one. So if you want to go to one of those other true crime ones, give us a call and sign up. But there is space left in our May 17th Downtown Geology Tour. We have our cemetery tour. Tours, historic downtown tours. So those, we have a lot of spots open. Those are happening every month all throughout the summer.
And you also have, do you want to mention this social impact survey?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. There's just so many things to get through. Yeah, this is something really cool that we are, that we're starting at the museum. We are looking for participants to come and sign up for this social impact survey. And what we're looking for people to do is commit to coming to the museum 3 times for free, and you can bring a guest as well. And then at the end of it, taking a survey on kind of your experience at the museum. So this is something we're looking for locals specifically. Mm-hmm. There's information about it on our website, or come say hi at the museum and check it out. But yeah, it's sort of intended to be a long form survey on how our community uses the museum and what kind of social impact we may have or areas we could grow.
I love that. It's so cool. And of course, you can always go to juno.org/museum. I'm looking at the website right now, and it has all the buttons to push and areas to go. Wild Joys, which opens this Friday and runs through October 18th. And that is going to be some performances on Friday for First Friday from 4:30 to 7. And then Capitol Killers, which you said was basically sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Ed and Betsy's stuff always
they
goes
always
sell
out. Got to get on it.
And then this, I love this performing opportunities, open mic opportunities. You can find out information there or help the museum out with their impact studies.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate it. Kate, thanks for coming in as always, telling us about what's going on. Break a leg. I guess you can say break a leg on this particular exhibit because it involves
arts. We'll go with that. No, it's going to be a fun summer. Come check out the museum. Lots of stuff going on.
I appreciate that. Thanks for coming in. Gunnath Cheesh. Okay, up next, we will talk with the Juneau Commission on Aging about some upcoming events to help get you moving. You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Bird Note. It's late April in the Northeast. You've just stepped out for a breath of spring air and... Hey, what was that? A tiny bird just whizzed by like a bullet. There it is over by those scarlet flowers hovering. It's a hummingbird. It must be a ruby-throated hummingbird, the only hummingbird that nests in the eastern states. No wonder it buzzed you. You're wearing a red baseball cap. Must have thought you were a really prized flower. Most ruby-throated hummingbirds spend the winter in Central America. By March, some males are already returning to the southeast, but it's well into April before they reach the northern states. Female hummingbirds arrive a couple weeks later, after the males have staked out breeding territories. Males greet females with a remarkable aerial performance, flying back and forth in a perfect arc, like a pendulum suspended on an invisible wire, and accompanied by buzzing wings and cricket-like chirps. So fill up the hummingbird feeder, put on a red hat or jacket, and listen for a hummingbird coming your way. Learn what hummingbird might visit your yard when you come to our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juneau Commission on Aging are community members appointed by the Assembly to advise the Assembly members on issues related to seniors and more. And today, we are going to talk with Deborah Craig. Going to cheese for being here today.
Thank
Wasa
you.
Iti, how are you? And Linda Kruger. I wrote it wrong in my notes. Spelled it wrong, but that's okay. I know your name, so that's why I said it right. We're going to talk about some senior recreation and wellness events happening around Juneau, as well as a few other things. But Linda, Gwyneth Cheese for being here. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great.
On this rainy, rainy day.
I know. Good to be inside.
But that's when it's also maybe time to figure out how to get moving, right?
That's right.
Inside.
Absolutely.
And there's some things. I know we're going to talk about some of those. There's like a Tai Chi class. There's all kinds of cool stuff. So where should we begin? This is a special month.
It is.
I hear.
Yes.
It is a very special month. It is Older Americans Month, and the governor issued a proclamation recently indicating that Alaska seniors who numbered something like 21% in the state are going to be honored through this proclamation. And I want to note that in Juneau, seniors over 55 are 30% of our population. A third of the population, almost a full third of the population in Juneau, are seniors. And so we're really working hard to make sure that we represent them equitably and reasonably. And we're going to see a lot of fun this month in honor of Older Americans Month. You know, it's interesting. The Juneau Commission on Aging, our emphasis is promoting aging, not as a medical event, but as a wonderful time of life. And I was recently at a women's dinner, and we all have this, we have this pattern of we go around the room and everybody tells what they've done for the last couple months. Mm. And all these women were talking about traveling, remodeling their kitchens, reading, adventuring, grandkids, and just enjoying time with family and friends, and how lucky we are to have been able to age. It's a real gift to be able to age in our times. My dad passed away very early at 54. And so for anybody who goes beyond those years, again, it's a gift that should be treasured instead of thinking of the doom and gloom that we sometimes hear about aging. So our current three priorities for the Juneau Commission on Aging are senior recreation and wellness, age-friendly housing and age-friendly community planning. So we're going to start with senior recreation and wellness. You mentioned that there's a lot going on in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just really trying to promote a lot of these things that are happening, because what we know is that isolation is not good for any of us. It doesn't matter what your age is, isolation is not so great. So getting out and doing things with other people is a really good thing to do for not just your physical health, but your mental health.
Mm.
So with senior recreation and wellness, I wanted to note that there's a Tai Chi class that you mentioned at Catholic Community Services, Senior Services. It started April 14th, but it's an 8-week-long program, and they're welcoming people to come in. They have a beginning Tai Chi class on Mondays. Beginning Tai Chi and more advanced Tai Chi. To register, you need to call Senior Services at 463-6113. Another great thing that's happening is at the Riverview Center. We have two things going on there. One is that the Riverview Senior Center is offering free support for people who are caring for family or friends with dementia. And if there's a case for not being isolated in that situation, let it be made here, because what we know is that not only people who experience dementia, but the people who are caregivers really need to be reaching out and being in the community and interacting with others. So you can call the Riverview Senior Center at 723-2282 for more information, or just Google Riverside Senior Center. They are also offering a widow and widower's garden support group the first Monday of each month. So next Monday on May 5th, they're going to be holding another one of their meetings. It's a widow and widower's garden support group. We're all living in the garden of life is their byline. And you can call Diane Kaiser at 723-1917 to get more information for that. And again, you can just Google these facilities and they'll have all this information available to you. Linda, you had a lot to share in terms of some physical activities and courses that have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And let me introduce Linda. Linda is I'm the chair of the Juneau Commission on Aging, but Linda is the secretary of the Juneau Commission on Aging. She's been on for years and is a huge resource, not only for JCOA, but also she is the AARP Community Action Team Coordinator for Juneau. And I don't know if everybody knows it, but AARP brings a heck of a lot of really good resources and stuff to Juneau, to all of the United States, but to Juneau.
Lots of stuff. So lots of stuff. All right. Thanks for that, Deb. Yeah, I just wanted to add that for the theme of Older Americans Month this year is Flip the Script on Aging.
Mm.
And that's what we're all about, is recognizing older residents' contributions to the community and reaffirming a commitment to serving older adults in the community and just transforming how we think about aging and being older and challenging all those stereotypes and misconceptions. And that's what we're doing with a lot of these courses that we've got. I teach at the pool, at the downtown pool, Augustus Brown Pool, on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5:30 to 6:30 at night. Courses that are good for people with arthritis, people who are concerned about bone density, people who are concerned about balance and falling, people who just want to stay active and be in the pool and be social with other people. And so lots of good things. Again, Tuesday and Thursday nights, 5:30 to 6:30 at the downtown pool. And I'm also here to talk about Walk Southeast, which is a program that Deb and I both started today.
I did my first entry today.
Juneau Parks and Rec, and I downloaded my little chart here. I don't have anything on it yet, but I did walk a few miles this morning out at the field house. Anyway, so last year, Juneau had 281 participants in Walk Southeast who were 50 and older, and I would love to double that this year, but we're going to at least surpass that. Ketchikan had 86, and so we're trying to up it, so it's all Southeast Alaska. In fact, it's all Alaska, really. Anybody can sign up and join. It's free. You just need to go online to walksoutheast.org.
Yeah.
That's just spelled out, walksoutheast.org. You can sign up through May 7th. So you have 6 more days after today to sign up.
Yeah.
It's free. And there's a kickoff on May 4th. from 1 to 2:30 at Twin Lakes at the park, at Twin
and
Lakes.
That's this Sunday. Yeah,
that's this Sunday.
Yeah, the CBJ came on and talked about Walk Southeast. It's a great program. It's this virtual thing where you're pretending you're actually walking, but you're trying to reach Ketchikan, I think it
absolutely,
is, right?
Absolutely.
But you're not actually walking to Ketchikan.
No, no, no.
You're virtually walking, but you're really walking.
And in fact, if you reach Tenneke Springs, you're qualified for 2 Alaska Airlines tickets.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And there's all kinds of prizes along the
way.
Yeah,
it's a great thing. You just go to cbj.org/parks-recreation.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd love to see people on Sunday at Twin Lakes Park.
Twin Lakes on Sunday.
From 1 to 2:30, May 4th. And we'll be there. AARP will be there with snacks and goodies and that kind of thing.
Awesome.
So it'd be fun to see people.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Was I supposed to talk about some other
Bartlett?
Oh, and we're working with Bartlett. They have just a wonderful program, a pelvic health program. Was it last week? I missed it. But
yeah.
We're working with Bartlett on other programs as well, and they're gonna host some walks and things, and we'll have more information on those as they happen. And
that's
courses,
awesome.
Courses at Bartlett too.
And do you have I know you're this is great because you're promoting all these events that are happening with all these different groups. Is there a place we can find more information about the Juno Commission on Aging? What's the best place to
Absolutely.
Do that,
Absolutely. Just Google Juno Commission on Aging and the link will come right up. You can go to our website. We talk about a lot of these activities that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about services that are in the area. We talk about what our goals and objectives are, our priorities right now. We give some information about how you can connect with other organizations for different types of things like volunteerism, et cetera. And we're going to talk about that in a minute because volunteering is an important piece in terms of seniors in Juneau. One of the things that we've done is in 2020, we did a survey. And one of the remarkable data points that came out of that survey is that people in this community, 63% of seniors volunteer in the community.
Wow.
We are awesome. Not only are we contributing money, but we're contributing time and energy to lots of organizations. And so that's why we're trying to represent them, get people to get out there and participate in all these activities. So Juno Commission on Aging, just
put it in your favorite search engine.
Yep.
Yeah,
in your
absolutely.
Search engine.
Okay, and then before we have to wrap up, I definitely wanted to make sure we talk about this age-friendly community planning.
Absolutely. That's another one of our goals and objectives, one of our three priorities is to ensure that age-friendly community planning is on the map. And this is happening at the same time that CBJ is doing some comprehensive planning. So we're really actively trying to engage with CBJ in terms of ensuring that seniors' needs are really integrated into that upcoming plan. Linda, do you want to talk about age-friendly?
Yeah. So age-friendly communities are all about communities providing safe, walkable streets, age-friendly housing and transportation options, access to needed services and opportunities for residents of all ages to participate in community life. And it kind of adds on to what we were just talking about. We know that many chronic conditions thought to be part of aging can be managed and prevented through nutrition, healthy lifestyle choices, strong community support, physical activity, staying healthy at all stages of life. So making the community age-friendly means that all of us can have happier, healthier, better, longer lives and stay in Juneau for as we get older. And so that's the goal, is to look at transportation, housing, activities, all kinds of things that support people living here and staying in the community and being healthy and happy.
How can we participate? Is there a way to participate yet in terms of, are we taking a survey or are we?
Well, we did a survey in 23, and we had in 23 and 24, we had several open house listening sessions.
Okay.
And we had another kind of listening session at a senior event a couple months ago. And so, but if any, I'm open. We're writing the plan right now.
Intro to the plan.
Yeah. We're finishing up the plan right now. But if anyone has any burning desires of things that they want to make sure get in, I'm open to people sending me an email and saying, hey, make sure this gets covered. So they can certainly get a hold.
Do you want to give out your email?
Sure. It's Linda Alaska, LindaAlaska, 2003@gmail.com.
Easy peasy. Yeah.
So planning is a long process, right?
Yeah.
And this age-friendly community planning is a 5-year process. And we're just now writing the introduction to AARP saying, okay, here's what we think we want to do based on some of the surveys that we've done. But we're going to be engaging with the public over a five-year process. We're also going to be engaging with the CBJ. CBJ is updating their comprehensive plan to reflect the current and future needs of the community. It's called Our Juneau, Our Future. And if you just go to the CBJ website, go to the planning, you'll see some more information about that. And they have just launched this literally last week.
Oh, wow.
They had some listening sessions last week. And this is the plan that is going to influence how we move forward. And the Juneau Commission on Aging is really excited about being able to inject our worldview that aging is a lifelong process. Aging is so cool that everybody's doing it is our logo, as
yes,
you know.
Yes, I love that.
And so injecting some of these ideas into all comprehensive planning, I think it helps everybody, not just seniors. And if I can make a final note, Boston,
yes.
Do I have 2 seconds?
Yep.
There's been lots of change with senior programs of late that a lot of people are very concerned about. And so we know that that can be really difficult for seniors. So the JCOA is encouraging informal community action. It's something we talked about the last time we were on air. Mm-hmm. And it's about reaching out to your neighbors in an informal way, not necessarily through an organization, not necessarily through some type of grant-funded program, but reaching out to your neighbors, helping somebody with shopping, sharing a meal, just being a friend, taking in their garbage can, helping in the yard. There's lots of programs that are critical to seniors, like Meals on Wheels and home health. So some of these more neighborly things could be done just by being a good neighbor and a good human. So we're really encouraging people to reach out to their neighbors, and not necessarily just seniors, but everybody. Because again, aging is so cool, we're all doing it.
Be a good neighbor. I look forward to hearing more about the plan in the coming months and years, really.
Yes.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Deborah, Linda, thank you so much for coming in today. You can Google, put in your favorite search engine, Juneau Commission on Aging, and you'll find some links to all these different things that they were talking about today. Really appreciate being here. Gunath Cheesh.
Thanks, Boston.
Thank you, Boston.
Okay, up next, celebrating Juneau's rich maritime culture and history is the main idea of the Maritime Festival. It's happening this Saturday, and we'll have a preview next here on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
A father and son are hunting Sitka black-tailed deer on Kodiak Island, and they spot a large buck. Kodiak Island is renowned for producing big deer. The majority of Alaska's biggest black-tailed deer have been harvested on Kodiak Island, and deer aren't even native to Kodiak. All those deer on Kodiak are from a source population of just 24 animals. Most of those were from, you guessed it, Sitka, on Baranof Island in southeast Alaska, transplanted to Kodiak about 100 years ago. At that time, Sitka was pretty much at the northern edge of the natural range of black-tailed deer. In 1924, 14 deer from Sitka were released on Long Island, adjacent to Kodiak Island. 6 years later, 2 deer from Prince of Wales Island were transplanted. The population did not seem to be thriving, so in 1934, 9 deer were captured near Petersburg and transplanted to Kodiak. Then the population grew steadily, and legal hunting began in 1953, when 34 deer were harvested. By the late 1960s, deer had spread to adjacent Afognak Island, and the population was thriving. The harvest in 1967 was 1,500 deer. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
You're listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at KTOO. You can also join us in the studio on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram pages. The Maritime Festival is happening this Saturday, May 3rd, from 11 to 7 p.m. at Paratrovich Plaza. It's brought to you by JEDC, which is the Juneau Economic Development Council. I'm joined in the studio now by Brian Holst, Executive Director of JEDC, as well as Yarrow Vara from One People Canoe Society and Mike Forbush from Icy Strait Seafoods. Gunnith Cheesh, Brian, how are you today? Wasayati.
Good afternoon.
And Mike, how are you today? Gunnith Cheesh.
I'm doing great.
And Yarrow, Gunnith Cheesh, how are you today? Wasayati.
Yuck-ay,
okay, good. So let's start with you, Brian, and we'll talk about the Maritime Festival. This is huge. It seems like it's grown. This is getting really big.
It is, and it's a celebration of Juneau's maritime commerce, culture, and history. Started in 2010 because we really wanted to bring some attention to just something that's just so core to who we are as a community. And yes, it has grown. It is going to be our biggest festival ever. By, you know, just some numbers, we have over 100 booths showing up. We're going to go from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. We've got some last 2 hours. It's going to be bands. We have we have 78 sponsors and partner organizations.
I remember a few years ago, I don't know when it was, but it was maybe 5 years ago or so, but it was like, it was in, you know, Marine Park, and it was like sort of a couple of lanes, yeah, right? It was like two lanes of, you know, one side and the other side you could do, and, you know, get some swag from some cool people and things like that. But now you're taking over Paratrovich Plaza.
It is exciting. And one fun thing is when we first started this, we were looking for a Saturday with no cruise ships.
Right.
And then it became hard to find a Saturday with no cruise ships.
Yeah.
And so we just did it on the first Saturday in May, which coincides with the Blessing of the Fleet.
Yep.
And that's been our date. But then this year, it is going to be a Saturday with no cruise ships. So it is going to be just all of your friends and neighbors coming downtown.
That's a great reason to get downtown, because I know some people start in the summertime, they stop going downtown.
A little bit, right? Yeah.
But this year you can on the Saturday because, yeah, and Carl's going to be on next to talk about the Blessing of the Fleet and the reading of the names, which mm-hmm. happens in the morning. And you could do that at 10 and then go over to the Maritime Festival.
And it starts at 11.
Yeah, perfect timing.
With
yeah.
One People Canoe Society.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit about that, the One People Canoe Society. Tell me about that group and then what you're going to be doing on Saturday.
Well, before I tell you about that group, I'd like to first acknowledge the local people here, the Occoquan, the Wushkiton, the Taku, Yanyedi, and the Gonakudi from the other side there, you know, because they're the people that have really been in this area, in this region, and that really deep longevity of the history mm-hmm. here of using the Yaqdei, our canoe trails. And so we started our One People Canoe Society basically because we were doing a lot of racing, a lot of competitions and things like that, and we really wanted to bring back more of that community element and bringing people together and bringing in some longer journeys and things like that. So we've been really excited to be a part of this event, to really have it as kind of our first spring waking up and really inviting people in to participate and getting people interested and knowledgeable about what we do and recognizing the local history and culture of this area.
Yeah, absolutely. So what will you be doing on Saturday?
So we'll be paddling our canoes. We'll be launching from Harris Harbor near the right across from the high school, near the UAS technology building. We'll be launching about 9 a.m. People are welcome to join us if they like to. We have paddles. We have life jackets. Just show up. Ready for maybe a little rain, but we're hoping Sunday's weather will come early. And it's going to be a round trip, so they can park there, and then we'll paddle over, and then we'll paddle back. So our landing down at the festival to kick off the whole event for the day will be at 11 a.m. We'll be greeted by Yis Ku'u dancers. That's with Nancy Barnes. They've got a really great multicultural group with Tlingit Haida, Tsimshian, and Aliyu dancers. And so they're going to do the landing and the call out, the Gusu Wa'e, where are you from?
Yes.
And then we'll call back and tell them who we are and go through a replication of what that ceremonial greeting would be, of identifying the paddlers as they come in and singing.
It's always so awesome to see that and to see, like, the when that happens. I went to one out in Auk Rec last year or something uh-huh. like that. And then the Hukulea one that happened, too, yeah. was also really fascinating. That was really good because that brought the whole community together. There was like 1,000, more than 1,000 people out there. It was kind of nuts. It was really cool. So that's going to be happening right at 11 o'clock to sort of kick off the whole day there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good. And where can people find out? I was looking on, I think you have a Facebook page, People Canoe Society, mm-hmm. right? And is that where people can find out more about your group?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. great.
One People Canoe Society. If you want more information, you could email us to onepeoplecanoesociety@gmail.com. And
easy.
We keep that Facebook page open and updated pretty easily. Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's going to be really, really cool. What a great way to kick off the Maritime Festival. And then, Mike, Icy Strait Seafoods, tell me about your involvement in the Maritime Festival.
Oh, gosh, for us, it's more just the industry. It's not about Taku Fisheries or Icy Strait. It's just like being out there and being a face and, answering questions about the industry. And,
right.
We put out a whole bunch of fish out there. We barbecue it up and pass it out. I've got some great volunteers this year, probably more than I need. I got to pick them up from the airport tonight.
Oh, that's so great. That's yeah. really good. So you'll have fish available to eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think
for
last
free.
Year.
Sample. For
free. Oh, samples.
For free. Well,
we love samples.
Yeah, it's more than samples. It's
like more than samples.
Like last year or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Because I know there's other vendors that will have food as well that you're going to – people will pay for. But you're saying this is going to be available for anybody to come by and grab and take a taste
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I got more volunteers this year than last year. So we should be able to move through it quicker. But, yeah, we did like 1,600 plates last year. It's a blast. I really enjoy doing it. I meet a lot of people and, able to talk to them about the industry and things like that. It's a fun time.
What kind of fish will we be partaking in on Saturday? Do we know?
Also, it's going to be rockfish, a little bit of salmon.
Okay, awesome. Rockfish and some salmon. That's really good. And so I guess this is true too, Brian. Like this is like you said, it's a celebration and a history of the, we live here on the water and it's who part of who we are, part of the people who were here before. It's their lifestyle as well. Where are we at in terms of the industry as a whole? Is that something that gets talked about at this festival, or is this more just the celebration?
It's really more of a celebration, but it is useful to make people aware. I mean, clearly we are processing fish in Juneau. We have two great processors. Also, Alaska Glacier Seafood processes fish here in Juneau, which is great. I think in the industry we are seeing there's some challenging times in the industry. The number of fishermen who fish, it's about 200, 20 years ago, it was 300 and something. So we're seeing a little bit of consolidation going on. Mm-hmm. I think on the bright side, we're seeing like mariculture emerging, right? We're seeing another set of, it's small still, right, in terms of dollars, but there's a lot of interest in Southeast Alaska is doing a lot in terms of oysters and seafood or seaweed. It's tough finding those markets and it's tough getting all our great product to those markets. So there are challenges, but I think it's an optimistic time. We're figuring out a way to continue to make a livelihood from the bounty of the sea right in front of us.
And what about you, Mike? How do you feel it's going in terms of, like, I know that there's ecological things that come into play in terms of fisheries and fishing and all that. I mean, what kind of challenges are you facing these days? We don't have to get too deep, but I'm just curious.
Well, I don't want to get into currencies or things like that.
Really,
the industry is pretty strong. The resources are there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about prices or anything else, but the resources are there and the markets are there. It's just moving it through, and there's a lot of cost in Juneau to get it moved out.
Yeah, yeah.
We do a lot of product locally, cruise ships, things mm-hmm. like that. And Alaska Glacier does the same thing, and they're a great partner in the community. Yeah. And they're helping us out at the Maritime Festival, and it should work out pretty well. But
I can just imagine, I get it, just in terms of, like, the how there's just a lot going on. And like you said, in terms of the isolation that we have here in Juneau, we know as consumers, we pay the cost for getting stuff to Juneau, right? So I'm imagining there's also a cost to get things out of Juneau.
There is.
Yeah. But the Maritime Festival really is about a celebration. There's going to be, as Brian mentioned, there's over 100 vendors. There's all kinds of merchandise vendors as well that are going to be part of this.
There are harbor cruises.
There's some harbor cruises. Right. There's also some performances.
Oh, I got signed up for those.
Yeah, they're fun. Yep.
You got some, harbor cruises are available. There's a tug of war at 3 o'clock on the Seawalk. That'll be kind of fun.
Not too late to sign up a team.
Okay, you can get a team signed up for that. Right. And of course, all the information on this is at jedc.org, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you can find everything about the festival there. There's also some performances. I know. Looks like Jam's going to be performing, Juneau Alaska Music Matters, and then also some Vox Borealis is going to perform, the Rain Dogs, yep. The wonderful Juneau band, playing some indie and pop and some punk.
And we're going to extend it a couple hours. So typically the festival goes from 11 to 5. Last year we experimented with going past 5.
Yeah.
This year we're going to go from 5 to 7. It's just going to be a beer garden, which is a fundraiser. Again, drinks, beverages donated in the community, but we're going to get a chance to turn that into a little bit of cash to pay for the event. And then the Navy is sending a band to play, and they are just outstanding, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
They're so fun, the Navy Band Northwest. Now, were they there last year, too?
They came last year, yes.
Because I remember seeing that, and I was like, that was some of the coolest stuff.
And they really enjoyed Juneau. We were happy when they said yes again. We expected them to say no, and they said, well, actually, the crew really, really, really enjoyed their time in Juneau. They spend a couple days here. They'll meet with high school the high school classes as well. They'll get around, visit our schools, and engage with the community also. And also, we're just one stop on the way. But we were able to make the invitation, and then they're able to spend their time in the community.
I love that. It's the Juneau Maritime Festival. It's happening this Saturday from 11 to 7. One People Canoe Society, Yarrow, and will be opening with a celebration at the beginning, right at 11 o'clock. And Mike will be present with some fish that you can get for free, which is always a nice thing. And then Brian's group will be there with all. It's brought to you by the JADC, and you can find out.
We got tons of supporters.
There's so much happening. Yep. And what did you say? There was 8. Did you say 80 something? What did you say?
78 sponsors and partners helping to make this together. It's just a huge community effort.
And KTOO will even have a booth there this year, too. So we'll be there. We'll see you there on Saturday. It's the Maritime Festival, 11 to 7 this Saturday, May 3rd. Go to jedc.org for more information. Yarrow, Mike, Brian, thank you so much. Gunnath Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnath Cheese. Anybody wants to paddle with us, 9 a.m. at Harris Harbor.
Harris Harbor at 9 a.m. if you want to paddle. That sounds pretty fun, too. Up next, the Blessing of the Fleet and Reading of the Names is an annual event that's taking place right before the Maritime Festival. Carl Brodesen is here to tell us more about it next here on Juneau Afternoon. Oh, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Carl Brodesen is here. It's the annual Blessing of the Fleet and Reading of the Names at the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial this Saturday. Gunnath Cheese, Shot Yigudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you, Carl. How you doing?
Thank you for having us. Yes, we're the prelude to the Maritime Fest.
Yeah, I just realized that it's all happening on the same day, which is kind of cool. I'm going to bring this up for those who are on the live stream who maybe want to look at some of this information that we're talking about here. But tell me, we have you every year to talk about this event. It's really cool. But describe what this is. What is the Blessing of the Fleet and the Reading of the Names?
It is to remember people who passed away in a very dangerous industry, but also people who've dedicated long lives to a very important industry, to Alaska and Alaska's economy. Fishing has been an important part of statehood and also just life here since time immemorial, and this is one way of honoring that.
And this is an event that is sort of sponsored by the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Group?
The memorial is its own thing.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
But who puts on the Blessing of the Fleet?
Oh, the board of the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's
Memorial. That's what I mean.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you're on the board?
Yes.
Okay. You're on the board of everything.
Terrible at saying no. It's
great. If you need a board member, call
Carl. No.
It's all good. So describe what's going to happen on Saturday.
We will get together. Pastor Father Blue from Holy Trinity Episcopal Church will bless all the boats that are nearby that want to be blessed for the season. It's a lovely tradition. And then we will read all of the names that are on the wall, and then especially the names of people who are going to be engraved soon, the most recent additions. So we bless boats and then read all of the names.
Yeah, and on this on the live stream, you can see the page. There's names that are going to be inducted this year that will be engraved next, and that's a really wonderful tradition that you do there. So how do you mention that anybody who wants their boat blessed can get their boat blessed? How does that work? Do you have to sign up, or do you just show up in the harbor? What do you do?
Just show up. It's down by Taku Fisheries and the Tram, that area. There's a good description on our website if you just Google Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial. But you just hang out and then listen on the radio. The whole thing is broadcast on Channel 10. And the first boat to go is prearranged, and they set the pattern for everybody. And then whoever's next just sails up in there, goes by, and they get blessed, and on they go.
And the blessing for your boat, is that for good commercial, or is that for good fishing that season kind of thing?
Good fishing, safety. I mean, it's still an
safety.
It's still an incredibly dangerous industry, but it's also a struggling industry, as noted before. And I'll say it, climate change and tariffs are making it very, very hard to make a living at this right now. Mm. And it is important to think good thoughts when it comes to having a successful and bountiful year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good thoughts are always welcomed, right?
For sure. Yes, absolutely.
So if you want your ship, you just show up in the harbor, tune into Channel 10.
Yep.
And that's where that would be. And of course, you can also Google Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial. But also, I'll just give the website now. It's akcfmemorial.org is where you can go for that. And again, it starts at 10. What time do people who are doing the boats need to get into the harbor, do you think?
Oh, muster around 10. And it's out in the channel. It's near the southernmost of the large cruise ship berths.
Okay.
And so there's plenty of open area there.
And there's no ships on Saturday. And there's no cruise ships on Saturday.
And I will say that the port director's office has been very good about making sure that during the half hour that the ceremony occurs, there's no ship right next to us, so that we do have an open connection to the water. And we really appreciate that.
Nice. And then people are more than welcome to come and watch this ceremony. Where should they gather if they want to watch?
At the memorial. It's between Taku Fisheries, right next to it, and the Tram downtown.
Okay.
And so that's an easy walk over to the Maritime Fest from there. But yeah, we usually have 200 people who will be there and listen. And it's somebody who, you know, just has a connection to fishing, or who has somebody on the wall, or someone who is still very much in the process of grieving, who is having their loved one who's recently passed away put onto the wall.
And I know I see there's a few names here on this list.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering, like, how many names are on the list total?
273.
And that includes the ones
including these 10.
Including the 10,
yeah.
Okay. And then, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this, when mm-hmm. somebody passes, how do they get access to being on the wall?
It is entirely up to the families to want this and to then ask for it. And we do everything we can to make it easy for them. But yeah, when your loved one passes away and they were a commercial fisherman, if you want to remember them in this way, then just get a hold of us. There's an application on the website, and we make it as easy as we can.
I love that. That's so cool. It's a wonderful annual event, the Blessing of the Fleet and the Reading of the Names at the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial this Sunday. Saturday at 10 a.m. It's right before the Maritime Festival. And it's always the first Saturday in May,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's always the first Saturday. And it's a wonderful, wonderful tradition. Thank you so much, Carl. I really appreciate you being here today to tell us all about it.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO. Juno 104.3 and KAUK, Juno Auk Bay 91.7. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese and have a joyous Juno evening.